do is share with you, out of order, two presentations related to work in Africa. And the first one builds on what Susan was talking about, but actually includes some information on rapid assessments that have been carried out since. Okay, just to put out some context for you, the UN and the USG have encouraged all countries to kind of establish planning programs. In South Africa, for the last 4 years, I've been working on the avian influenza planning program for the region. So many countries actually do, in fact, have plans in place, and of those, many of them have subcommittees on communication that are working. UNICEF, as was mentioned before by Nora, is the global coordinator for avian influenza. AED supports the U.S. government's program by providing communication related to animal health work through AI.com. In terms of the communication assessments, Africa is behind Asia, of course, in outbreaks, and Susan talked about some of the outbreaks that have occurred in Africa, but they've begun around 2006. USAID and some of the host governments asked us to do some assessments in various countries where there have been outbreaks. And in West Africa, we conducted, these are qualitative assessments in the following countries: Nigeria, Cote d'Ivoire, Ghana, Niger, Burkina Faso, and Togo. Just a quickie on the methodology. The interviews were with key stakeholders involved in communication in the country. We used a basic common set of questions to get at what we were looking at. We tried to observe activities where possible. And we looked at materials, strategies, research, and training, what was actually going on in the countries. And just in terms of some of the things that we learned, and this kind of also combines in with what Susan was talking about, there are three areas where there are challenges in the countries. I think around advocacy. When you think about Africa, you don't think about avian influenza. And most people in Africa don't think about avian influenza. It's really all about AIDS and malaria. So there are some real key issues around advocacy that need to be in place. In terms of management, this is an area that we really need to strengthen communication management and around this issue. Many of you who have worked in other public health issues and have worked in Africa know that communication isn't always the strong suit. Much of my time in Africa was working on HIV communication, and there was a lot of capacity building that we did during that time. So it's the same problem with AI. And then there's some technical challenges when we talk about communication. I'll go into those as well. Okay, just in terms of the advocacy issue, it's not a top priority. Even getting people to show up at meetings who are supposed to be doing this is a challenge. And so, you start to get to know these people really well, all three of them that show up at the meetings. And so it becomes a problem. There's nothing like a good old outbreak to really get people more interested. I always said we should bring some dead chickens along with us to the countries we visit, but that wouldn't be very nice. But it is very difficult, particularly in non-outbreak countries, to sustain any kind of attention. It's viewed, avian influenza is an animal problem. It's not a human one, not in Africa. I mean, we have had a death. We have, and Egypt has had some deaths as well, but it's really seen as a bird problem. There isn't much advocacy for coordination among the groups. People are dealing with it wherever they have it, but there's very little coordination within a country. There's uneven funding and pace of implementation at different levels at the national, state, and district, and involvement and coordination of a wide spectrum of stakeholders who haven't always played together. I mean, working with veterinarian people. When I started working on AI, I learned that there's Veterinarians Without Borders, which was a new organization I had never known existed until I started working on this. So there's a lot of new players that come to the table. It's very cross-sectional. It affects different units within the government. I'm used to dealing with the Ministry of Health or Child Welfare. This involves agriculture, animal husbandry, lots of different groups, as well as economy, finance, health, and education. So it really is quite cross-sectional. And if you've worked in other countries, and well, even if you've worked in this country and you've tried to bring different government agencies together, it's always a challenge. So this offers the same kind of challenge. In terms of management, everybody's got a communication plan, but very few people are actually implementing it and doing things with that plan. And a plan is only as good as its implementation strategy. So a lot of people have it in the books but aren't really doing anything. And there's limited communication capacity to do the work. So again, it's building up that capacity and trying to support different agencies with that, as well as the lack of coordination within the governments. Finally, there's a kind of a naive understanding of rapid response. One of the people who participated in this survey said, who had worked in AIDS for many years and was used to rapid response, that he had no idea what rapid response really means. When you deal with AI, it's a very rapid kind of response because the birds are dying, they die very quickly. People either eat them and then you have nothing to look at, or you try to get people to bring the birds in so you can find out what they're sick from. So it really means turning something around within a week or two. And I think Nora can attest to that in her work in Vietnam. Things have to move quickly when there's an outbreak. The technical challenges in terms of communication really have to do with, you don't just come up with a standard communication plan to deal with AI. We really, some of the work that Susan has done and Nora has done are really trying to drill down and look at what is it we need to understand about people and their relationships with chickens. And you can't just use a standard thing, let's do three posters, four pamphlets, one TV spot, and one radio spot, and we've got a campaign. We really need to understand and address some of the specifics. There's a million messages when it comes to AI. I don't know how many of you are involved in avian influenza programs, but there's a million prevention messages and a million containment messages. And we really need to decide which ones we're trying to promote during any given time so that we're not overwhelming people. We need to understand the complex use of chickens, and I think Susan covered that quite well. I won't go into detail, but I think one interesting aspect of this is a lot of the work that's being done now in Africa around income generation, particularly in communities where there's a lot of OVCs and widows who are now trying to build up their income, is raising chicks. And so people like CARE and other organizations that are doing income generation programs are introducing raising chickens as part of the program. So I don't, we might be creating a little problem here, but it also, I always look at the opportunity side. It's a great way to also do some education around AI. I won't go into that because I think Susan mentioned all the issues. I throw this peep, I think this is a picture actually from your participatory research. In the middle of it, a chicken walked over. So you can see that, you know, in Africa, everybody has a chicken, and they walk around and they're there. So even when we were doing our research, the chicken came in to do some spying on us. But I think we need to understand and address some of the motivations. Any of you that have worked in AIDS or any other health issue know information doesn't equal behavior change. And I think, AIDS kills was always my favorite message because it's like, okay, what do I do with that now? We also, for every health issue, we need to look at what are the motivations. What do we really want to talk to people about? What resonates? What's important? And what will they actually do? And what won't they do? And I think it's important to look at that as well. There were some positive findings. I thought I'd throw that. We found a million challenges, but there were some positive things, so I'll throw those up for you. There is more funding for AI communication in many of the countries in Africa, and we're seeing an increased interest. I can just tell in my time in South Africa from three people attending the meeting to formal two-day workshops with 20 people coming in that definitely there's more attention being paid to it. There's also money and attention kind of go together, so more people were showing up because they were getting funded as well. In many countries, there is a commitment and political will towards curtailing the virus, and some there's not. Some countries do want it to go away and hope it will disappear. But in many, they are supporting it. National and community level activities are really building on the experience from measles, polio, and dengue fever. I think there's really an interest in trying to look at what other problems and outbreaks people have dealt with and what we can learn from that. And as Nora mentioned, the private sector is engaged. They have a vested interest, of course, but so what? That they are very interested and are very willing to work with us and be involved with us, more so than civil society and the public sector sometimes. So what can we do? We can continue to sustain advocacy, and there, I'll talk about that in a minute and won't go into real detail here. But we have to keep the interest up. It is a problem. It is becoming, as Susan said, endemic in a couple countries in Africa. And do remember, reporting there is an issue. What we know in terms of what is actually being reported is quite difficult. So there's probably a lot more cases than we know of because of that reporting. We need to promote effective communication planning. If time is not the issue, if we don't have an outbreak, if we have a little time, trying to do some baseline data collection, looking at some of the issues like risk perception, fears, some of the cultural, social factors that Susan mentioned, so that we can plan better and really clearly define our primary audiences. If the rural farmers we have specific messages for in Burkina Faso, they're not eating them, they're selling them. So our messages shouldn't be for, you know, how to clean them and cook them there if they're not the audience who are doing that. So, and then also just in terms of the trying to promote enhanced coordination, make sure people know what's going on so that everyone is not going in and training veterinarians. I think there were four or five different trainings for veterinarians going on in Southern Africa at the same time with different funders. So we need to be careful to use the money wisely. And that's that on that one. So I think these are some of the things that came out of those assessments that were